For the ones who work hard to ensure their crew can always go the extra mile, and the ones who get in early so everyone can go home on time, there's Grainger, offering professional-grade supplies backed by product experts so you can quickly and easily find what you need. Plus, you can count on access to a committed team ready to go the extra mile for you. Call, click Grainger.com, or just stop by. Grainger, for the ones who get it done.
Hey everybody, it's Shift and Steer, and the whole gang's here today, which is always exciting because when we're losing parts and pieces, that's never good. But happens, and it does happen. And I just want to say one thing. Welcome to the party, pals. And hey, springtime is a good time. Lots more events, lots more cars on the road, stuff happening. You're already starting to see it. But, you know, as we are recording this show, I'm excited to say that this weekend is, for that crossover audience, Dirty Fest.
What?
Dirty Fest is this weekend, you guys.
Dirty Fest?
Yeah. It's where everybody shows up with a dirty car.
Oh, okay.
No, it's it's the retro BMX event that I went to last year.
Oh, okay.
They're having it again this year, and it's going to be bigger and better than ever. And I'm going to go up, but I'm not racing this year. Last year I raced, made the podium, and I'm going to quit while I'm ahead. So, plus I haven't had any time to put a bike together.
Wait, you raced last year?
What's that?
You raced last year?
I actually raced last year, and I made the podium. Matt,
he expositioned last year.
How sore were you after that?
Yeah.
Okay, let me tell you this. I was not sore at all. I was so worried going out there that I was going to be sore and I was going to fall down and break something. And I actually surprised myself. I was my buddy from Nebraska who traveled all the way out here, who races continually in the senior class, like 55 and over class, he races all the time. And he was like going, oh, I'm so sore. Oh man. I'm like, really? And I was like, I don't know, but,
good job.
But
is a sign of worse things.
What's that?
Pills are good. Yeah,
maybe you lost feeling. Maybe your nerve damage.
No, I forgot that I even hurt. You know, it's that, yeah. No.
You're like, what's the difference from today from any other day?
Exactly. No, you know what was strange though was there was a lot of muscle memory from, you know, going over the, you know, the track and everything. The one thing that I never even considered, and that was the thing. I was going to train this year. I was going to practice. I was going to do, and the one thing I was going to work on was balancing in the gate, because used to roll in the gate,
yeah,
and keep our feet on the pedals, and you would just balance, and then you would pull back and go. And hell no, dude! I tried it, fell on my ass. I went, what the hell? I can't balance in the gate anymore. And my buddy who raced all the time, he goes, if I don't race for a couple months, he goes, I've got to practice. He goes, it just goes away. And so I did one-footed starts like we did way back in the early days.
Yeah.
And other than that, it was so much fun. I mean, they had the side hacks out there. Mm-hmm. They had the
– oh, those are fun.
And what's cool, it's retro BMX. So it's like vintage drag racing where the classes are by the era of bike. So like I had in my class, there was multiple motos, but in my class, there were some kids that were, you know, like 13 to 16 years old because they were riding older bikes. And let me tell you, those young kids, they're damn fast, okay? Yeah. I mean, and then I had a guy that was older than me, then I had a guy that was younger than me, and I mean, quite a number of them, and it was fun. We had a blast. All the old, you know, for all of you who are into BMX, Stu Thompson was out there racing, Perry Kramer, Bob Haro was out there, Greg Hill, I mean, Eddie King, everybody, and this year it's supposed to even more, you know, more people, and I wish I would have had time to get a bike ready. I wish I would have had time to.
What did you do? Did you borrow a bike or something?
No, last year I. Okay. Since you opened that can of worms.
Did you wear your short shorts?
No. Racing gear, man. The bike I raced last year, I took two bikes out, one for show, because they have that. It's just like car events. They had a big car show. Well, they had a big bike show where they're judged. They get trophies. Then they have a swap meet. Then they have a vendors area. But I took a bike out, which is a real valuable bike now. It's a 77 pedal power Powerlite. And it was a bike that I've had, since the 80s. And I rebuilt the frame with all era parts and everything like that. And I, as I said, too busy to go out and practice or anything. So I showed up the day of the race last year on a Friday for practice day. First time I was ever on that bike to ride it, other than just up and down the street. Guys, I forgot how I've grown, you know? I mean, when I had that bike when I was a kid, it seemed the perfect size. Holy crap, was that thing small. And I mean, I couldn't do like power wheelies or anything. There just wasn't anything to it. And so that one is now hanging on the wall of my garage. And the other bike that I had was the bike that I raced very first. If you've ever seen any of the photos I've posted where I'm on a old Schwinn Stingray, it is the red Schwinn Stingray. Moto Mag on the front, red line forks, and it is the actual bike. And I just took that out there to show. And I got a frame and I was ready to do it, but I just didn't have time to build it and gather up all the parts and everything like that. And it was a pro frame. It was a longer frame. It fit me better, but didn't happen. So I'm just going to go out, see some friends, watch some of the other guys go out and walk away going, check everything out. It'll be fun. There's a lot of people out there that are car guys I've had a couple of them message me on, are you racing this year? Cause I'm coming out. And I'm like, no, I'm not racing this year. And so it's fun.
I mean, I know we mentioned this before, but you talk about car guys that were into BMX. Steve Strope from Pure Vision.
Was big time.
Was super into it. I don't know. Is he still a collector or do you end up buying all of his stuff?
He is still a collector. Yes.
You guys were trading parts and stuff for a little while back.
Yes, we did. Just last year we traded some parts. And one of the guys that works for him is a huge collector also. Tim Strange.
I was just going to say, Carrie. Tim and Carrie Strange.
Tim and Carrie still race. I mean,
Carrie kicks ass.
And there's a lot of hot rod builders and guys. There was somebody I saw just the other day. It was an IndyCar racer and there was a post. Somebody had posted a photo from the pits and there was a restored Mongoose sitting in the pits. And I didn't know he was into bikes. And I started talking with him and he had found this and restored it. And so I said, you know, there's all that heritage. You know, the Mears brothers used to bring their kids out to the BMX track when I ran ABA. And, you know, it was always cool to have, you know, the IndyCar racers and off-road racer mirror guys there, you know, so it's cool. It's a lot of fun and you go out and it's just like muscle cars or something because guys start getting, oh, well, that bike never came with those type of grips or, you know, they start getting all nitpicky and
where's your snake belly tire?
Yeah.
But that's this weekend. Unfortunately, we're 80 degrees today. It's supposed to be in the 60s and a chance of rain on Saturday and Sunday, which kind of stinks.
I was bummed when I heard about the rain because I'm going out to Formula Drift.
Oh, okay.
The Grand Prix of Long Beach is coming up in about a week and a half. But as you guys know, they do drifting the weekend before. So there's drifting this weekend and then Indy is the following week.
Right.
I guess it's Saturday, they probably run midday in the afternoon. There's all the final stuff. So Not sure Let's how hope. It's going to happen. I'm not sure if Long Beach is going to be getting rain or not. But
yeah, that would stink. You know,
or it could be fun to watch. I don't know how they do it. Yeah. If they just run it just for fun, I don't know what they're going to do out there. I mean, the cars are so expensive and stuff now that I hate to see them just smash up cars for the sake of show. But you know, what
it
do you
take
do?
A lot of water to throw those things into a. You know, into
no,
a,
and it's funny because they're trying to break the tires loose in the back, but. I don't know. Do you run wet? You know, do you,
yeah, like, it's, but do they have windshield wipers?
Yeah, that's a good, that's a good point. Not just some Rain-X in the front and that's all you need.
But it's kind of like, hey, we're going to drift with rain tires. Yeah, that didn't
yeah,
work.
Yeah, with rain tires.
Yeah. Well, you want that front wheel grip. So we'll have to see, you know,
and in the rear, it used to be like, oh, you could just put like the skinniest little tire on the back and just like the opposite of a dragster just to break them loose. But now there's so much control through the rear tire that traction yeah. is important, you know, and how they modulate the throttle. So I don't know, maybe wets would work. I never even thought about it. I never really thought about drifting in the rain.
Well, I haven't seen much on drifting in the rain, so
yeah. I've done some drifting in the rain.
Cannot be a thing.
Yeah, I mean, not intentionally. I've drifted in the rain.
But you yeah, know, right. Motorsports in Southern California hasn't been doing that well this year. They had to finish the Pomona race of drag racing over in Phoenix because of rain. And, you know, it's just, we've gotten so much
and rain. It's like the one day of rain all month. It's like, what, just one day, just next Saturday, that's it. Just
we've had
day.
A lot of rain. We've definitely had a lot of rain. Not that I'm complaining. It's fine. It's like,
and I'm going to miss the Grand Prix this year because I got to go to Arizona. I scheduled some stuff that I've got to do and over there on the home sale. And it's like that. And then I went, what was I thinking? You know, I was like, somebody got a hold of me and said, hey, we got your passes. And hey, we're also doing this design thing if you'd like to come to it. And I'm like, oh, yeah, what's the date? And he goes, well, the design form's on the 18th. And then, and I go, oh, wait a minute. And I go on my phone and I go, oh, crap. I guess I won't be there for the Grand Prix this year. So,
yeah, I think I'm gonna head out Sunday on the race day. I don't know that I'm going to be able to do more than one day, but probably be out there for a race.
Yeah. It's it's always hard, but you know what? Little bit of bad news this week. Last week, my good friend Larry Dixon, you guys know Larry,
yeah,
his father passed away.
Yeah.
Oh no.
Larry Dixon Sr. was a notable Top Fuel racer back in the the 70s and you know where Larry got his start, but I found something out that I was not even aware of, which is a really cool side note to his dad. And Larry has told me so many stories about traveling with his parents in the early days, you know, back of a station wagon and going from race to race. But his dad had the fastest, like notoriously unbeaten fastest streetcar on Van Nuys Boulevard.
Wow.
And it was a 55 Chevy with radiused, rear fender openings and, you know, fender well headers and everything like that. And it was what I found out just this week was that it is the car that they modeled the 55 Chevy after in American Graffiti.
Oh, really?
Yeah, I didn't know.
I never knew that his dad's car, because it was notoriously the fastest car on Van Nuys Boulevard and won all these races. And that, and then they also named the yellow 32 owner who was up from like the Fresno area. And so I didn't know. I just thought that was out of somebody's head. Oh, we'll do a 55 Chevy. And his dad's car was dark green. And and it looked almost exactly like the car in American Graffiti, man. It was pretty cool.
Wow, that's cool. That's really cool. Wow. So, sorry, Larry, for your...
I know. It's, you know, I was just speaking with Larry at Roland Leong's Celebration of Life.
Yeah.
And we were talking about his dad, and his mom was with him, And we got to say hi to her. And then talking to his dad, or talking about his dad, about, you know, gosh, he's getting older and you just never know. And then boom, you know, so our condolences to the Dixons. And it was great that his father was a big part of early drag racing and street racing now that we know.
Yeah.
So pretty cool. So, hey, Matt, I got a question. I see it behind you.
Yes.
What was the final results on that Cybertruck?
On the Cybertruck. So it sold on Bring a Trailer. It went for $160,000. And it was a crazy auction because of the amount of people that participated.
I watched it. Yeah. It jumped from it was kind of stuck at 115 and then it blew, like they do, you know?
Yeah. And something like 750 comments and just thousands and thousands of watchers and views and stuff. So it was exciting to see. Now the three motor Cyber Beast, I didn't even know that was delivered yet, but somehow Gooding got a hold of one or somebody consigned one and already sold it for $260,000.
Is that what the final was? I saw it when it was $200,000.
Yeah, it was a little over $260,000. I assume that's with the VIG and everything. So,
when do you get rid of this one? When's that one go bye-bye? When are they picking it up?
You know, I'm kind of ready to get rid of it. It's taking up space in my spot in my warehouse here and stuff. But the guy that bought it is out of the country and that oftentimes has some delays with wire transfers and stuff. And again, to be clear, it's not my vehicle. I was just listing it to a friend that's never been on Bring a Trailer. And obviously just making a little bit of a commission off of it. But so I don't know. Hopefully by the end of this week, this will be paid for. Then we'll start figuring out where
you sold that for your buddy. And now we won't say his name, but his first letter of his name is E and it ends with a lawn, right?
Yeah. That'd be funny if that's he started listing them all on Bring a Trailer.
You know, what's funny is I hadn't seen one in person. And then I think on Easter Sunday, I saw three and we talked about two of them were wrapped. One was wrapped flat black and one was dark gray. And then the other day when we were in Vacaville, I saw a big semi with six of them on it. And then we saw one parked downtown. It's like all of a sudden, I'm seeing them everywhere.
Yeah,
and
they all got one delivered. Well,
now, I hadn't seen one all year. You know?
They're starting to get delivered now. And this guy uses a dealer in Miami or something like that for most of his purchases. And he's done a bunch of buys on Bring a Trailer and other places. At 160 grand, I don't think the dealer just had enough cash in their pocket to front the whole cost of this thing. So we had to do the wire transfer. So I assume it's going to go to Miami before it goes anywhere else. Cause I think the guy's just sort of staging his cars there. Honestly, I have no idea, but
I saw one.
If they used to keep it here, there's going to have to be a storage fee.
Yeah, exactly. I saw one just yesterday that looked like it was raised up. Now I couldn't tell if it was raised or if it just because of the big wheels, you know, it had like 28 or something on it.
It has an air suspension and you can raise it.
Okay.
Maybe they were driving it in the mode.
But I mean, it had like 28s on it too. Yeah. So and then it had some logo. It was silver. It was just the stainless and it had a logo on the door. And I was trying to read the logo, but I was driving the other way in traffic. I didn't want to have an accident just to read the logo.
Yeah. You know, it's interesting to drive, getting used to the four-wheel steering because it makes a sharp right-hand turn. I figured it out pretty quickly. I understand some people that are getting into are like hitting the curb on right-hand turns. Because
you hear that a lot. Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah. So you just pull out a little bit further. Like if you were towing a trailer, you go a little wide.
You're driving a truck.
Right. You set it up like you're going to go drive a bigger truck. So you put the nose out and then make the turn, but unlike the truck, then it goes sharp. Right. So it compensates for that move. But anyway, it's kind of interesting. It's fast. It's just not for me.
Well, good. I'm glad it sold.
It sold. Look, it was good. And it was a fun auction to do, but yesterday was the sad day because the Reliable Carriers truck did show up and took my SAC Mustang away.
Oh, it's, so you did do an after sale.
Yeah, we ended up selling it. We ended up doing a deal. to a guy who is really nice and he's a big Mustang collector and he's got a bunch of Fox bodies and stuff. And
perfect
guy in Texas. So it's interesting because when Reliable showed up, the rest of the truck was full of brand new Toyotas. And Toyota's in Texas, so I didn't know if he was just bringing the whole thing. Maybe it was like some press cars that they were taking off the press fleet and bringing back.
Right.
I don't really know how they were getting it done, but it was like, it was just a bunch of, like, there were new cars, but they were just stock Toyotas. It wasn't right. like he was hauling other stuff. And the guy was just geeking out over the car. And I was like, just shut up and load it and go. I don't want to start talking about it anymore. It's like, just go. Like, it's done. It's over. I don't want to think about it.
Matt's wiping his eyes.
Yeah. Tammy was here. She's like, how'd it go? And I was like, just being a baby about it.
That's just so weird you would say that, though, because I was going to bring it up in the show how the guy at Barrett Jackson, they've got one going through at the Florida auction. And he was saying, that they have skyrocketed in the last 30 days. They expected to go for like 2.5.
Yeah. So, that would not surprise me. I know
just
you're
busting your balls.
I know you're busting chops, but right when I walked in, I told Tammy the same thing. I go, in a year, this car is going to pop. It's going to be 200 grand. And she's like, oh, I hope not. I was like, that's just the way it goes with me. So
that's the way it goes with everybody.
But,
I mean,
but look, I sold it, like I said, for two reasons. One, I wanted to put some money into the beverage company, which I was able to do. And two, I never owned a collector car that you couldn't drive. Like the miles were so low that you couldn't drive it. Yeah. I've had it for 2 years. I put 20 miles on it. And as much as I like the car, if I bought another one, I would try to, you know, I'd buy one like 50,000 miles, 60,000 miles on it. I don't mind if I have to restore it a little bit. I would just rather have been able to drive the car. Just driving it out to the street to the Reliable truck, I'm like, this is the part I miss. Like, I want to drive it. It's a fun car.
Yeah.
But anyway, it's done.
That's a very good point because when years ago, when Michael Anthony wanted a Shelby and I was helping him with that, and we were at an auction and he was looking at one with his wife and it was a 100-point car and everything about it was, you know, this car is 100 point graded by the, you know, and I said, that's not the car you want, Mike. Trust me. I said, and I was using my Vega as an example, just like you said. I go, every time I drive it, I'm taking a little bit of that authenticity away. And I said, you want a car that you can drive. And I said, so we went and found, he wanted a really nice car. So we found an 80 point car. Because that car had already been driven, you know, and, you know, things such as the exhaust on the other one, this car had never even, you know, let the paint on the exhaust manifolds and like that, you know, discolor. Mm. And you you've got to consider that. And some people, if they've never owned a car like that, Matt and I have, take our word for it. They're fun. They're nice, but they're possessions. They're not a car.
Right. Right. And I'm just not there yet to be the art collector, if you will, you know, for those types of things. I would rather drive it. And honestly, like I was, you know, the past few weeks on CarCast, Goldberg's been doing the same thing. He's sold off a few since January when he sold his two Demons, trying to get away from the cars that you don't really drive. He's got a couple, you know, that are sort of non-drivable collectors, but he's like, it's just not as much fun.
No, it's not.
So he's just getting more into the ones that are more fun for him to drive. So,
totally makes sense. Yeah. I'm getting rid of the last couple things that I don't drive that much, you know, because it's like, if you don't drive it, it's why have it? You know, unless you have some big warehouse and you just want a bunch of sparkly stuff sitting around. You know,
if you have the means, like you said, if you've got a huge warehouse and people are taking care of your cars for you and then you get it and you're right. You like, you've got the big investment cars or even in Goldberg's case, when he was getting the Dodge Demons, he was buying them two at a time.
Yeah.
You know, now they're not $1 million cars, right? They're $100,000 cars. And a guy like him who's worked his ass off literally in the ring and on the field, can buy two at a time. And then he sold off the ones that he didn't drive. So,
yeah. Yeah,
and there are people who have those cars. I mean, the Bruce Myers or my friend who's got the 60,000 square foot museum, and you know, they buy them and they get different enjoyment. They have their cars they drive, but they got the enjoyment of having the museum and, you know, the display and like you said, investment, Matt. I'm buying something new this week, just to share with you. I'm buying a new windshield for my truck.
Oh, are you?
Oh, no.
Because yesterday I'm driving up the 55 and there's a guy pulling a car trailer. Well, I should say utility trailer. He had SUV, UTVs on it.
Yeah.
And all of a sudden I see something come winging off of it. And just as it hit my windshield, I realized it was a lug nut.
Oh, and, no.
Oh, my God, man. That thing.
That's got to be loud.
It was not only loud, scared the hell out of me because it was coming right towards me. And it put a hole in the windshield. And and probably, gosh, I'm going to say there's the impact, which went all through but the final layer. Then there's the, you know, the big shatter. Then there's probably about maybe a 4-inch ring that's cracked around that. And I'm like, well,
baseball.
The only good thing is that, you know, I could probably use a new windshield anyway. It's been in there for a while. You know how after a while they get those little stone chips in them, you know, just from everything, from road use.
They get sandblasted.
And you don't realize till you get a new one how bad your old one was.
Totally.
Look at how clear it is.
I mean, the trips to, I don't know if you take it to Arizona much anymore, but the trips to Arizona and stuff. And you're right. Again, it's not like we were talking about a restored car where you're like, oh, I need an authentic GM windshield. Right. Like you could just call Safe Light and get that thing popped in.
You have the guy come out with the little truck and do the thing.
With the arm on the back. Easier to do now, for sure. There is a glass restoration kit, not for the cracks, but you're talking about the little pits because there was, you know, I had a 65 Mustang.
Oh, kind of glazes over it.
Glass is tough.
It's kind of like wet sanding the glass and then polish it. And I didn't do it on
really
a front
hard.
Windshield. I did it on like the side glass because it had some scratches in it. But yeah, it's not.
I remember seeing those remember back in the day, the old cars where you'd have a big scratch because your wiper blade wasn't any good or something.
Typical. I would caution anyone that wants to restore their windshield that way. There's a couple kits. There's something called Ceraglass or something. There's a couple really good products, but it is extremely time consuming. You have to go in very, very small increments. It's really hard to polish out. But like even when I detail a car, I polish the glass just with a compound, you know, and it's amazing how much better it looks. But I've tried to polish those wiper scratches out, and especially when they start to significantly gouge. If you're trying to restore an old windshield, like on our 56 on the Woody Wagon, you know, on the museum car now, I still have probably 20 hours left to make it perfect. It's that time consuming. So use caution on that. Headlights, no problem. But windshields, really tough stuff.
But you're right. But if you've got a $2 million, you know, collector car and, you know, the logo is, you know, and the logo is in the corner of the glass and it's on the film in there. It's got.
For the ones who work hard to ensure their crew can always go the extra mile and the ones who get in early so everyone can go home on time. There's Grainger, offering professional grade supplies backed by product experts so you can quickly and easily find what you need. Plus, you can count on access to a committed team ready to go the extra mile for you. Call, click Grainger.com, or just stop by. Grainger, for the ones who get it done.
You got to restore it.
You hire a professional.
I didn't have time before the show to dig down. Maybe you have some facts on it, Matt, but have you seen that Toyota Trail Runner? They finally have it out, the new one. I mean, it it looks good.
For the Forerunner, the new.
Yeah, but they've got the Trail Runner package with the big flares and everything. Yeah, yeah.
I think it's called Trail Hunter.
Is it Trail Hunter?
Yeah, I think it's the new Toyota 4Runner, which was just pretty much debuted today as we're talking about this. This is a 15-year-old platform that's finally getting refreshed.
Right.
And it's the 4Runner is going to be largely based off of the Tacoma frame. It's going to have the 2.4-liter turbocharged four-cylinder. That's 278 horsepower, but there's the hybrid version, I think, brings it up to about 326. And yeah, there's lots of different trim models. I think seven different trim models now. And that one's kind of cool, what you're talking about. The
really
Trail Hunter.
Good looking vehicle.
Yeah, because the Trail Runner, Brad, is an RC car. The Trail Hunter is the actual
car. I saw Trail Runner, but you know, my eyes not what it used to be.
But let me tell you, that RC car is pretty impressive. I'm looking at it going, there's something off. Oh yeah, the boulders aren't okay. Yeah, the boulders are off scale. That's an RC car. You're right. There is a Trail Runner, but it seems to be an RC car according to Google. But the Trail Hunter is the one. Yeah, there's a lot on that. That's beautiful.
They still like the base models, and they do the TRD Pro, and then the Trail Hunter is an upgrade even to the TRD Pro. It gets you the 2.5-inch lift. It's got the Ford shocks. It's got external reservoirs on them. 33-inch Toyo open country tires. I think the overall ride height is about 2 inches at the front, about 1.5 inches in the back over the stock one.
Some pretty cool stuff. Yeah, the one they're showing is gorgeous. It's green. So this one looks like it has Old Man Emu ARB shocks. I don't know what build this is, but it's green and it's got these gold wheels. It's just
that's
gorgeous.
That's the one. That's the Trail Hunter.
Yeah, that's the one that I was looking at.
That one's beautiful.
Yeah, that thing's cool looking.
I'm gonna keep calling it the Trail Runner forever. So,
Brad, you do. Check your eyes. Check your eyes.
I can't hear you. I don't have my hearing aids in.
If you guys are familiar with the refreshed Tacoma, you're going to see a lot of similarities and stuff on the inside.
But it's just a good looking vehicle, the way they stylized it. And
really, I don't like the what do they call that roll bar with the little triangular quarter in it? You know, I don't like those personally.
You don't like those?
No, I don't like those at all. Like that one, I would say, you can keep that.
Now, another vehicle that I was looking at, hey, Matt, Edmunds. Now, you work with those guys.
I do.
And did you see that they just told people that they bought a Fisker Ocean and you shouldn't make the same mistake?
Yeah, we've been talking about it a lot the past few weeks about and then we had their analyst on, and she's in charge of sort of looking at the market and just she just crunches numbers and basically was saying, and Aaron and I actually spoke about this, I think, last week a little bit about they're saying, look, the new cars are expensive, even with the discounts that are built in and interest rates being so high. It's kind of tough to get into a new car, but getting into a used car for cash is the most ideal situation.
Absolutely.
Getting into a used car with a big down payment and maybe finance a little bit of it is not a bad solution, but with interest rates being high, you know, don't finance 90% of the vehicle. Like try to do much less than that. But yes, their Fisker, they took a big hit on their Fisker. They've only got a few thousand miles on it. And when they type it into CarMax, which is their parent company, the buy it now value is $25,000. They paid $69,000 for it.
I was going to say, that's like a $70,000 hit, man.
Yeah, it's a big hit. Although, just for fun, not for me, but for Alistair from Edmunds, he's like, hey, since we're here plugging in numbers, let's put in your Ford Lightning Platinum. And the number came up, $50,000 is basically what that thing is worth. And, you know, they were 100 new, not that long. I got 7,500 miles on it. It's still basically new, and it's worth half. So,
however, the difference between that truck and the Fisker Ocean is that you're most likely going to be able to get repair parts and get service on that Ford F-150 for the next decade.
It's parked out front of my warehouse and it's literally doing a software update right now. It's doing an over-the-air update right now.
But that Fisker Ocean, with what we're seeing with the company, you could pay 20 grand for that and a year from now have a paperweight. You know, that's right. Why and, they're so and, cheap.
You know, and I think what Aaron and I were talking about is like also the risk, right? If you said it's a, I don't know, like a Toyota SUV or something like that and going, okay, it's a Toyota SUV, gas engine. It's not going to be supported. We screwed up, blah, blah, blah. What do? You could still go, all right, well, maybe I'll buy it. And some things are mechanical. I'll try to fix them. And worst case, I'll pull the engine out. I'll put it into some project car. And like, but what do you do with a Fisker? It's so software driven. I mean, you could part out the electric motors, wheels, tires, but I don't know what else you could do with it. You could try to, somebody very creative with a lot of skill could try to turn it into a gas engine vehicle.
Yeah, well, I was going to say, when it drops in half again, when it's down to 10 grand, I'm buying one and putting an LS motor in it.
Yeah, exactly.
I mean, in theory, if you take basically the skin upward, right, all of the interior pieces and all that, and then you got to figure out some sort of shifting mechanism and probably do your own gauges and stuff like that. And an infotainment system and strip all that out. You're just taking the body.
Yeah.
You're taking, you know, maybe some, you know, I don't even know if you're going to do suspension pieces at that point. I just don't know how it's
going to. You'd have to put a Morrison chassis under it.
Yeah. You know, and
it
I guess
like
you can make
Kia. It.
You know, it's
like
funny
Kia anyway. So yeah. What's the point?
What's funny is seeing the guy at the gas station, people going, look at the guy putting fuel in that electric vehicle over there.
Yeah, that is funny. You know, the Fisker Karma, which came out, which was it was a hybrid electric, but it had an onboard generator. The gas engine was a generator, and it was electric powered. And then that other company, Karma, that bought up the assets of that, did do like LS swaps or mm-hmm. somebody did LS swaps.
They talked to Lutz about it. Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah. Right. The GM guy was doing it and made it kind of interesting. Now they're doing something else. But even at Gordon McCall's like Jet Center party, I think somebody had like a Karma there with like an LS7,
mm-hmm.
you know, and the guy's like, oh, we do these conversions and we do all this crazy stuff. And it was, I don't know, it was expensive, but it was cool because that's a cool looking sedan.
It's a good looking car. Yeah.
And
yeah.
Just a weird sort of chain of events. If the next company Fisker does ends up getting sold off for pieces and somebody makes little gas engine versions of the Fisker Ocean. I don't know.
Well, yeah. It really is. When I saw that kind of a hit, that kind of is a death nail to a company.
Yeah. Big time.
Yeah. You know, I mean, that hurts the people that got them. And then their financial troubles, cause they said they just don't have enough money for the rest of the year without some sort of bailout or partnership. So they were sitting on somewhere around another 40,000 orders for that vehicle that got canceled, which means there's partial refunds, not full, but there's like $9 million of refunds that need to happen.
Yeah.
And no revenue. That's the other issue is not
no capital, no revenue.
Yeah.
No
so,
fund.
They just dropped the ball by releasing it too early and not working out the software. I don't think it's a bad vehicle. Built overseas, built at Magna, built at the plant that does the G-Wagon, it does some BMWs. Like, I don't necessarily think it's a build quality issue. It's certainly not worse than anything else that's new on the road. It's just the software just was severely underdeveloped. And you're right. Edmunds posted a video and the guy's like, I got to drive the Fisker Ocean today. And he stood there with the key fob and he clicked it to unlock the doors and he goes, it kind of works and doesn't work. It's hit or miss. How many times do you think it'll take me? It clicked 32 times to click it before the doors unlocked. He was like 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6, 7, 8, 9, 10. And then it finally opened.
I had a Mercedes with shaved door handles and my solenoid I only had to do it twice to get it to go. You know, come on.
Now Lucid had a couple software issues and some mechanical issues as well.
And
sometimes the phone wouldn't connect.
And
Alistair came by, we went out to lunch in the Lucid and he's like hitting his phone, trying to scan to get the door. So he did it like three times and it opened, but that's gotten them better with software updates, and they got funding, and that company continues to go, and their revenue is actually stronger than they initially thought when they did the discounts. Everyone's doing discounts, Tesla, yeah. Ford, everyone. So Lucid did it, and it actually helped. It helped. It's the strategy Fisker's trying to do. Fisker saying we're discounting our cars $20,000.
Did it help sales at Lucid, or did it, because it probably didn't help profitability.
So. No, but it did help sell. So they actually reduced profit for sure.
Got rid of some inventory.
But it definitely moved inventory, brought in new customers, and potentially, you know, those cars can get better over time. The Rivian and the Lucid are both vehicles, for example, that have gotten better over time just through through over-the-air updates and stuff.
Yeah. And we still have other electric vehicles in development. One that I was going to bring up was the Scout. Yes. Who remembers the International Scout?
Yeah.
I mean, they're right there with the Bronco.
I prefer it over Bronco 2-1. Absolutely. Okay.
Well,
I love them.
I kept hearing about this. I kept hearing they're bringing the Scout back. They're bringing the Scout back. So finally, I said, well, I'm going to look into this a little bit. I have to say, I was ignorant to the fact that Scout is being brought back by VW. I did not realize that.
Whoa, I didn't know that either.
I was like, well, who's doing this? And then I realized, oh, wow. And they brought some of the people over from VW. And so there's real dollars behind it and real, you know, and they're kind of going after that. It seems to me, this is not something they're saying, but seems like they're going after that Rivian market, you know, with the Scout.
Yes. That's what they're going to be trying to do.
Uh-huh.
Yes.
And
they're doing an electric SUV, and it's cool looking. I mean, the concepts, the drawings, whatever they do, we'll see what it turns out to be.
I saw a beautiful long wheelbase one like this, you know, like this gold color. I'm sorry, I'm looking online at the Scout, like you know, '60s, and it was just beautiful. And it had the graphic on the side, fully restored, the white top. I like the simplicity of the Scout. I mean, it's like the Bronco, but I've always liked the Scout better. You know, I like the round taillights. I just like the configuration of it in its simplest kind of industrial way. I've always liked the Scout.
It's funny, they've always taken a little bit of a backseat. I can remember
when
kids were buying used cars, they all wanted, you know, Blazers. And if you couldn't afford a Blazer, you got a Bronco. And then there were the kids who had Scouts, you know. But kind they weren't the bad looking. They weren't bad vehicles.
Yeah,
you know?
And I loved the carryall and stuff like that. They were so cool. This was like a two-door carryall.
Yes.
It was kind of. Yeah, I'd never seen that spec. Someone might have customized it, but it was good looking. Yeah, this definitely holds true to that look. Yeah, at least the concept.
It was interesting. I just didn't have a clue that VW was behind it until I actually started looking at it a little bit more, and that was
The older Scouts that you're talking about, Aaron. If I remember correctly, they were prone to rust. Something rust. I don't know.
And the corners of the windshields down underneath the hood line, and there's a collection area, and they just
the wheel wells and the fenders. Yeah.
Wheel wells.
I mean, had that front assembly that was very similar to like Dodge Darts and things like that. It was that, you know, where it was all one and the water would sit up in there and the salt and all of the stuff.
It's bad.
But, you know, these days now, because they're getting to be high dollars, if you're doing a big restoration on it and whatever, then you get to address that issue and get rid of it, you know.
And there's tons of aftermarket support. You can buy all those panels. But it's a big job, you know. You're repairing 40% or more of the panels. For most people, that's pretty intimidating. And you start to get into the structure when you're repairing those panels. You know, you're starting to undo the structure, so you got to make sure that you're square all the time. And it's a big deal. I stayed away from it, which is part of the reason why I haven't gone to doing and having an old Bronco or an old International. But I've always been tempted by them. I've always looked at them and thought they were cool. My wife and I were just talking about that 2 days ago. We were just talking about it. Yeah, so, that's fun.
Hey, do you guys want some good news?
Sure.
Okay, some good news. I ran across a study that was done recently, and they said that they interviewed a lot of younger buyers, car buyers, and they said that what they found out from these younger buyers was that if they could afford anything, do you know what kind of car they would have? In general, this is a general, not a particular car.
Not a clue.
They said if they could afford it, they would have a muscle car.
Really?
Yes. They said muscle cars still are that car that even the youngest buyers gravitated to. But they said, with the caveat, they all said, well, but they're so expensive and they're so basically out of their grasp. But they said if they had the means, they would have a muscle car. And it's interesting because I had just had a conversation with a neighbor of mine. He's a young guy. He's got little kids. Him and his wife are both professionals. They make really good money. And he said, he goes, well, I got the house done, you know, all the remodels done. And he goes, a couple more years when the kids are a little older, he goes, I'm buying me a Camaro. Convertible Camaro, like a 68, Brad. And I need your help because I don't know anything about him. And he goes, I need your help getting one, you know. But that's, you know, he's over there. His wife's got her Mercedes SUV. He's got his, you know, his GMC truck. And but that's his dream, man. He wants a 68 Camaro convertible, you know. And that they're saying that that still rings true, you know. It's and they mentioned they thought it would be that they had a fondness for cars that they grew up with, you know, like Toyotas or with, you know, things, you know, more foreign cars. But they said, no, they're even more popular with the younger buyers than like exotics or Porsches or anything like that.
Wow, trippy.
So that's good for the collector car market in that you're going to have generations that are going to want them if they're allowed to buy them.
Yeah, as long as they don't convert them to electric.
Yeah. what's the actor that did that?
Robert Downey Jr.
Yes, Robert Downey Jr. So
yeah.
There's a handful of them.
but anyways, so Matt, you were driving something. I know it was white. I can't remember what it was.
I don't remember. What was I driving?
Okay. White Lightning or the White Pony? What was it?
The Lincoln Nautilus. I think we covered it.
Last week when I wasn't on?
I think we covered the Lincoln or it was on the other show. It was on Car.
Yeah, it was on a different show. I don't think we've discussed the Lincoln.
Okay. I think I do another show. I don't
remember. Yeah. Yeah.
Yeah, you do. I think
I do.
Isn't it called Two Girls, One Podcast?
No.
I do the Mommy Podcast, you know, just to, you know, give all those tips.
That's April 4th episode. I did the Lincoln Nautilus. Yeah.
Lincoln Nautilus.
Yes.
So how was it?
It's cool. The big thing is the screen going across the dash, which is super impressive. So
can you play video games on it while you drive?
Not while I'm driving. I really don't know how it works, but it's interesting because the dash pad is low, so you feel like you're sitting high because there's a screen up there and it goes across the entire dash.
Whoa,
and it's kind of seamless. You get your gauges, then you can get weather and CarPlay and you know, your entertainment, your music channels and all that stuff. And it's really kind of cool. And you can swap in different modules. Like you can, like, I don't want weather, but I want something else in there. And then there's like a 12 point something screen or 13 inch screen that is the touch screen. But a cool feature of the big screen is when you plug in your phone and let's say you use Apple Maps for directions, it's a true split screen. So on the touch screen in front of you, you can still control your radio. And on the big screen underneath the windshield, you can have your Apple Maps.
Okay.
Wow.
So many cars now don't have that. Like the Ram truck, I think, does a split screen. I have that giant double-decker screen in my Ford Lightning, and it doesn't split the screen like the Ram does. You know, actually, I don't know. The screen you put in your Jeep, Aaron, I don't know if it does that. Like if you use Apple CarPlay, do you still have the controls for your radio on the touchscreen, or do you got to go back into the menu, back to the main menu? You know,
I'm not sure I understand. I have all the controls I usually need.
Aaron has a look on his face right now, folks, that is totally perplexed.
If you don't use it normally, you don't really fully understand. But usually when you switch over to CarPlay,
right,
you have the interface of the phone on your screen, which means there's no longer the controls for your radio or Sirius XM or whatever. You got to go to CarPlay, go to the menu, hit, like if you're driving a Toyota, you hit the Toyota icon and it brings you back to the Toyota. And then if you want to go back to
maps, you
got to
keep going to the main.
You got to go back.
So we stream from our phones. So we have Spotify. So I just hit map or Spotify, whichever screen I want to see.
Right.
So,
and then it can do it.
You stream from your phone. I just scream out the window.
But RAM has a way of doing it in certain configurations, depending on the screen you have. And the Nautilus had it, and it was a cool little feature to see. It was just next to the gauges, I put CarPlay, because, again, you can select it. My Apple Maps were up there giving me directions. And they're doing more of this where if you're doing like a phone call or getting directions off your phone, it's just using the speakers like around you, the driver, and it still plays the music over somebody else, over the passenger.
Cool.
Right. So it tries to.
That's really cool.
That'll help because people do not have a clue when they're on their phone. How many people have you pulled up next to at an intersection and you can hear their phone call clear as day? They got it so cranked up and it's like, can you pick up some ice cream on the way home? You know, and you know, it's like, geez, or they're going, yes, just make sure no one's in your car with you because this is highly confidential. And you know, the rocket that we're sending out of Vandermeer, you know, and it's like, I've pulled up next to people or in parking lots, they're sitting there in their car, and I go, do you not realize that you're everybody in the parking lot can hear you?
Yeah,
my social security number is.
My Coinbase number that is secure. I don't want anybody to have it because they can get all my Bitcoin. It's these words. So, hey, I guess we can wrap it up today, guys. And you don't know it, but we're going to let you see behind the screen. We changed our day. We used to record on Fridays. But all of us are so busy going to events, you know, like Matt was saying, he's going out to the drifting, or, you know, we've got important things like vintage BMX events, or
I'm leaving
Aaron
for
has
St.
to go
Louis
out and pick grapes on the vineyard because that's how he gets to stay there. So,
I don't get up.
Are you mashing the grapes?
I don't get up that early. Those folks show up at like 4 a.m.
And even from the standpoint of now we're recording on Wednesdays, we might be able to get some more guests again because a lot of times guests were at events or they were traveling and they weren't available on Fridays. So we're changing it up to make Shift and Stare better. But there's one thing that's really important. Matt, can you tell them where they can find us?
And it's at shiftandstare.com. You can find us on social media. I'm at moderator. Yeah, there you go.
Hey, and
buy
if
some
you
Rivago.
Want to be a guest,
go to
or
the website,
you want to book
buy some
a guest, hit us up. And you know what? We're always looking for guests. So, you know, if you have someone or a client, just hit us up. And Aaron, where is it now? It's Aaron's Vineyards at what.com?
Aaron's Store Foot Hagar. No. Yeah, you can find me anywhere at Aaron Hagar. Easy to find in the world.
Cool. And if you need wheels, especially this time of year, it's bondspeedwheels.com or bondspeedwheels on Instagram. If you want to find me, Bradley_Fanshaw, and that's on Instagram. So everyone.
Real quick though, what event are you going to, Aaron, this weekend?
Oh, I have my gig in St. Louis. I'm flying
to
St. Louis.
Why did you bring that up? I thought it already happened.
No, it's this Sunday. It's been sold out for a while, but, yeah, I'm really excited about it.
Well,
we're going to go.
Little thumbnail. What is it? Just remind me.
I'm going to go and tell stories. I'm just going to go and talk family stuff. It's kind of a fan event. And it's going to be really, really fun. It's at the Funny Bone. And yeah, it's Divine Sorrow is going to play. It's April 14th, 7 p.m. In St. Louis. And yeah, it's a fanfare. I'm basically going to go there and do a meet and greet and spend a couple hours telling stories and talking interactively to the audience. Maybe they're trying to hook up an AV so I can show some old photographs and tell stories behind it. And then I'm going to jam with the band. And
it's, are you going to tell that one story about your dad?
Dude, I'm going to tell.
No,
I'm
that, tell that one. The, that you know one. That
yeah.
one.
Yeah. 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 The one, the hammer story. I'm going to tell.
Ah,
that.
Yeah.
Yeah. No, we're going to talk about why it's Danny Hampton and why it's the hammer and why it's the, you know.
Or I've how when some, when you I've go down to
good stuff. I
when you go down to Cabo Wabo in yeah. and the very first thing he does is bring out a spiked pitcher of margaritas and gets everybody slushed.
No, I'm not going to talk about the yeah. stories that everybody knows already. I'm going to, you know, everybody's like, well, you should write a book. I don't remember enough to write a book, but I will come up with some good stuff on stage for an hour or so.
Cool.
And tell some stuff that I don't think people have heard. And all good respect, but fun, good stories. Of, yeah. You could imagine, you know.
Yeah, yeah. You could imagine. It'll be good. It'll be fun.
And look good. Behind it'll the be grass good. Skirt. So.
And it's going to be really off the cuff. Like, I have a few things prepared, but I really want to look at photos and just go, you know. I think it'll be fun and sincere and, you know, it's a big living room. That's all it is. Big living
yeah.
room.
Right on. Good, man. All right, everybody. Thanks for listening to Shift and Stare. Remember, you know what? We haven't said this in so long, but go to iTunes and subscribe. That still helps us. You don't believe how much. And you can go to the Brad Fanshaw Patreon account, dump $20,000 in there. I don't have one, so that's the problem. But if you do want to support the show, you can just send me a check for $20,000. I'll share it with the guys. So, would it be great to have a benefactor? So, hey, everybody, thanks so much. And we'll be back next Wednesday. Well, it'll air on Tuesday, but we'll be back next Wednesday. We'll see you guys.
Without the ones like you who work tirelessly to keep things running, everything would suddenly stop. Hospitals, factories, schools, and power plants, they all depend on you. No matter the weather, emergency, or time of day, you're the ones who get it done. At Grainger, we're here for you with professional-grade industrial supplies. Count on real-time product availability and fast delivery. Call, clickgrainger.com or just stop by. Grainger, for the ones who get it done.